Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Some say this was the most surprising transfer in the history of football. This story starts at West Ham United in the 2009 January transfer window. The players are on the team bus, on their way to Fulham for a game in the Premier League, when a mobile phone rings. Julien Faubert, one of the West Ham players, picks up his phone. On the other end of the line is a Frenchman who says he works for Real Madrid. This man tells Faubert that Real Madrid wants to sign him. But Faubert feels like this isn't serious, like someone is trying to prank him. So he says he doesn't want to be bothered. He has a game to play. Faubert switches off his phone. After the game, Faubert switches his phone back on. He has 40 text messages and a couple of missed calls from his agent. His agent is stressing out because Real Madrid really wants to sign him and they have to hurry up because the transfer deadline is rapidly approaching. In this episode of our podcast, we tell the amazing story of a man who was born in poverty in a French harbor and ended up making one of the most unexpected transfers in the history of football. This is the crazy story of Julien Faubert and his transfer to Real Madrid. It's a story about frantic phone calls on deadline day, playing with a Ballon d'Or winner, being wrongly framed by the media, and finding peace in the south of France. My name is Sam van Raalte, and welcome to the Home of Football, a podcast by 433. Let's go.
To be honest, it was crazy. I had 40 text messages from my agent to say, call me back, call me back, call me back.
It was incredible. Do you know what? I think that still goes down as one of the most bizarre transfers in football history. It's incredible. No one knew what to say.
All the kids want to play for Real Madrid or Barcelona. Me, to be there realizing a dream, it's incredible. It's a different world. And when you start to warm up on the side, it's crazy. They want to kill you.
Several sports media, including Sport Bible, called Julien Faubert's transfer from West Ham United to Real Madrid the most bizarre transfer in the history of football. So, I've always been curious about the full story behind the transfer. To reconstruct this story, I spoke with Julien Faubert himself, a journalist from Madrid, and a West Ham fan. It took a little bit of work to reach Julien Faubert, because he currently lives and works in the south of France, and my French is terrible. But after a couple of tries, I got his number.
Hello.
Hey, Julien. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm great. How was your day today?
Yeah, everything is good. We're working hard, so everything's okay.
Faubert currently works as an assistant manager at Étoile Fréjus Saint-Raphaël, a club in the fourth tier of French football. The town Fréjus is located in the south of France, at the Côte d'Azur, below the city of Nice. That's where Faubert is living now, but his story started in a very different coastal city in France, way up north, called Le Havre. That's where Faubert was born in 1983, and where he grew up in poverty, with his mother and siblings.
I come from a really poor area you don't have many options. The option there is football, prison, or if you good, you work at school. So it was a tough place, but my childhood was really good. I live with my mom only. Mm. And my brothers, so like I never had the last pair of sneakers. I never had the last tracksuit, but I was really happy. You know, I was always outside playing football, and my mom was always looking after me. You know, she worked so wake up at 4 a.m. and come back at home at 11 p.m. So yeah, it was tough for her, but. You know, I have a great memories, great happiness, but the main thing is I received a lot of love from her. So, yeah, it was a good memories from my childhood.
Love is, in the end, is all you need, right?
Exactly.
So, Faubert's mother had three jobs, getting up at 4 a.m, returning at 11 at night. Faubert was a talented football player. As a kid, Faubert gets the opportunity to enroll in the Cannes Football Academy. He leaves his mother in Le Havre as a 13-year-old to try to become a professional football player in Cannes, over 1,000 kilometers away from home. It's hard for Faubert in Cannes. He misses his mother and has to get surgery a couple of times after injuries. But he perseveres. After a couple of years at Cannes, Faubert makes a transfer to Bordeaux, which is a top team in France at the time. Faubert immediately plays a lot at Bordeaux. In 2006, he even makes his national debut for France in a friendly game against Bosnia-Herzegovina. As a 23-year-old, Faubert is sharing a dressing room with players like Thierry Henry, Patrick Vieira and William Gallas. He gets the number 10 jersey, which was last worn by Zinedine Zidane, who just retired after headbutting Marco Materazzi in the 2006 World Cup final. Faubert is brought on in the 69th minute against Bosnia-Herzegovina, replacing Franck Ribéry. The score is 1-1. 20 minutes later, Faubert scores the winning goal for France right before the final whistle.
Pour frapper à Paris, c'est but!
Coup de billard!
C'est la première sélection pour le moment, on va dire, à Julien Faubert.
Faubert is on fire for Bordeaux as well that season, so several clubs want to sign him in the summer of 2007. Faubert is about to sign for Glasgow Rangers when West Ham United calls his agent.
We were sitting at the restaurant with the Glasgow people, and they was taping the contract, and we was ready to sign. And my agent received a phone call. He go out and talk, come back and send me a message. Said to me, Julian, in 5 minutes we go out. We're gonna talk. We have to talk. We went out, and he said to me, Julian, we have a club, a London club, Premier League club. What do you think? I said straight away. I said I want to go there because it was my dream to go in Premier League. So he said, okay, let me arrange things with Glasgow. And we leave, we take the private jet and we went to Bordeaux to sign with West Ham. I think it take what, 15 minutes. Everything was settled already. My agent prepare what we wanted on the plane. And then they was agreed straight away and I signed for West Ham.
That's crazy. How did that feel, man, to go to West Ham United?
It was what I dreamed for a long time, and I was there. Now I was ready, and I was crazy. I give a big hug to my manager, and he said, Julian, like, let's go now. For me, it was a dream to play in Premier League, and especially in London. And then you know, I knew already about the movie, you know, about Hooligan, the movie Hooligan.
Mate. I think you should get on the next train and fuck off out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Before something bad happens.
Yeah, Jubilee, oh yeah. Maybe we'll be interested to see exactly what that is. I mean, you're not exactly top flight mob these days, are you? Hey? More like a two bob mob.
See? Now that's just plain rude. But hey, if you fancy it, who are we to let you down?
Oh, yeah. Come on in, son.
I was so exciting to play in this kind of club because it was a match with my mentality. You know, I'm a fighter. I like to fight for my club. And when I knew the history of the club and everything, and I felt when I went there the connection with the fans, I was really, really, really happy. And it's crazy to play there. It's crazy to be a Hammers.
Faubert is excited to sign for West Ham United that summer, especially after watching the movie Hooligans. Now, let's hear the perspective of a West Ham fan. Dave Walker has been a West Ham fan his entire life. He has his own podcast about the club called The West Ham Way. Dave was pretty much born into the club, and he was looking forward to seeing Faubert play for West Ham when the club signed him in the summer of 2007.
I remember that when he came to West Ham, people were excited. I think the fee at the time, God, was something in the region of 5 to 7 million, something like that. So we was expecting pretty big things of him. You got to remember that was a bit of a turbulent time for West Ham because we was under a very strange ownership in the Icelandic owners at the time. And, you know, it was all a bit up in the air. I think, you know, from the fans' perspective, we were kind of half thinking that this was exciting because they were spending money, they were bringing players in on big contracts, and we thought this was a real statement of intent to take the club forward. But unbeknownst to us at the time, in doing so, they were just crippling the football club, and it was a complete mismanagement. And ultimately, those people that were in charge are now bankrupt, and it was just a complete and utter mess. And they were signing players, journeymen really, that were injury prone, and putting them on 6-year contracts on 90 grand a week. And we were just spiraling out of control, really. And I'm not too sure anyone really knew what was going on, including the players.
A lot of things were happening at West Ham at the time, but after signing, Faubert is focused on only one thing: having an impact in his first season. He wants to learn English as soon as possible and even uses the Peppa Pig cartoons his kids watch to study the language. But during preseason, he tears his Achilles and is out for over 5 months. Faubert feels the love of the West Ham fans then, when they reach out to him to show their support. That bond becomes deeper later on, when Faubert loses his mother. She becomes ill and passes away. She was the most important person in Faubert's life. But he plays for West Ham a couple of days later. The West Ham fans deeply appreciate this, and it creates a special bond.
You know, I travel a lot, playing many, many leagues in Europe and the world. And I think this can happen, can only happen in England. I had a hard time when my mom passed away. And then, you know, just for memory, I have to play because I suppose at this time that's what she wanted. So I played straight away, and the fans knew about this. And then it's the mentality of the English football. You know, if you respect the club, if you give 110% for the club, they will give you back, and they still give me back. You know, I'm still in contact with fans. When I went there with my kids, my son said to me, "Dad, I felt like you never left," because it's the feeling you have when you play in England. And it's the respect. Yeah, the world, it's the respect. They respect what I did after losing my mom, and that's why I love this club, and that's why I love England, because what I felt when I was on the pitch, I didn't even know the fans knew about this, but yeah, it was special. And after that, they always support me, they always push me, I felt like I play with someone on my back when I was tired and pushed me, so it was crazy.
Faubert misses most of his first season at West Ham because of his injury. He begins the next season in the starting lineup under the new manager Gianfranco Zola, but after a couple of disappointing results, Faubert becomes a substitute at West Ham. The team is about to play Fulham in January 2009, when Faubert gets a phone call that changes his life forever.
I was on the coach and like ready to, like we was on our way to play in Fulham away, and I received a phone call, like a French number. I pick up the call, and a guy, French guy, explained to me like he was working for Real Madrid. They was interesting. We need to arrange a meeting as soon as possible, because the transfer market I think closed the day after. And I said to him, you know, I'm on my way to play a game. I don't have time for this. And I didn't take the call seriously, to be honest. And I switched off my phone straight away, because I'm the kind of guy, I need to be focused on what I'm going to do on the pitch. And when the game finished, switched on my phone, and I had, to be honest, it was crazy. I had 40 of text messages from my agent to say, call me back, call me back, call me back. And as well, voicemail and everything. So I said, what happened? And I called him. He said, Julian, I'm in Heathrow. He was in France, but he said, I'm in Heathrow now at the moment. You need to go home, take your clothes and come in the hotel because I'm in the lobby with the Real Madrid representative, and you have to come and talk because they really want you to sign for them. I said, okay. I realized like it wasn't a joke. And then I drive as quick as possible to my home and took my clothes and we went there. I stay all night, sleep there because, you know, we start negotiate with West Ham and everything. And at the end, the day after, in the morning, I took the plane to go in Madrid and take the medical. It was crazy because we went through many emotions because we start first. I was the second choice. The first choice was Valencia. And Valencia, he was in Wigan, but we was waiting about this because if the deal between Wigan and Man United wasn't working, they would sign Valencia. But I think during the night, they received a phone call said, okay, Valencia signed for Man United. And straight away, we start negotiate with West Ham. So it was up and down many times. And then we waiting with my agent. My agent, I think, smoke 3 packets of cigarettes in 5 hours, but after that, and we was happy and said, okay, the deal is done, and we took the plane.
Foubert's agent calls the transfer a miracle. Foubert isn't even a regular starter at West Ham United at the point, and all of a sudden, he's moving to Real Madrid, one of the biggest clubs on the planet, the football club with the most Champions League titles ever. Real Madrid even negotiates an option to sign Foubert for 3 years after the loan deal. West Ham fans are surprised as well. Out of nowhere, Foubert is joining Real Madrid. Here's Dave Walker.
It was incredible. Do you know what? I think that still goes down as one of the most bizarre transfers in footballing history. It's incredible. No one knew what to say. I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. You know, when people think of Julian Foubert at West Ham, they like him. But he wasn't outstanding for West Ham. And at the time, West Ham wasn't a top four, or even a top six club. So to have any interest for any player from Real Madrid was strange, but especially Julian. So it was bizarre. And we were gobsmacked, really, really gobsmacked. We couldn't understand it. And the funniest thing about the whole transfer is quite a famous picture of when Julian signed for Real Madrid. And he's holding up the Real Madrid shirt in the press conference. And next to him is Di Stefano. And if you Google it, you'll see it yourself. He's looking at Julian Foubert as if with this puzzled look on his face, as if to say, who the hell are you? Honestly, it's quite an iconic picture and it's really funny. But no, I mean, I don't really know what to say. It was just a strange, strange transfer.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, to completely understand the transfer, we've got to understand what was going on behind the scenes at Real Madrid that season. Ramon Calderon was the president of the club that season, but Calderon had a hard time as president of Real Madrid. I called Ewan McTeer, an excellent football journalist based in Madrid, to get to know what was going on at Real Madrid. Here's Ewan on the state of Real Madrid that season.
Behind the scenes at Real Madrid, the behind the scenes politics were always going to make life difficult for Calderon, and he presented his own resignation in January 2009, on the 16th of January 2009, right in the middle of that winter transfer market. And that meant there had to be an interim president in the middle of the season before elections could be held in the summer. And that man was Vicente Baluda, who was the president who ended up executing this transfer.
So a man called Vicente Baluda took over as president of Real Madrid in the middle of the winter transfer window. He had a difficult job to do because Real Madrid was struggling that season. The club started that season with manager Bernd Schuster, but he stepped down after some disappointing results. He was then succeeded by Juan de Ramos, who came over from Tottenham Hotspur.
So they brought in Juan de Ramos to try to fix things. It got a little bit better, but not so much more so. So that coaching change was another spanner in the works of that season. Juan de Ramos was already the coach by the time January came around, and he really wanted a right winger. They hadn't signed a right winger in that summer of 2008. Famously, they spent all that summer trying to sign Cristiano Ronaldo. In the end, they didn't. They signed Van der Vaart and few others that summer. They didn't make many signings in that 2008 summer. So Juan de Ramos really needed just right-sided players, right back, right wing, anybody to come in. And that's why he requested one. But he had to request that to a president who didn't necessarily have the authority to make a massive long-term signing, because there were going to be club elections in a few months in the summer. Presentation, not many people went. It was on a cold, rainy Monday, on like the first day of February. Only 50 fans were able to be there. It wasn't necessarily the big glamour signing that the fans wanted. It was more of a coach's signing. It was the signing he wanted. He just wanted an extra body for the right side of the squad. So the fans weren't necessarily too excited, but there was a bit of a buzz. It did make the front page of the Madrid papers the next day after it was announced. But of course, they wanted something bigger, because in that summer of 2008, they'd been promised Cristiano Ronaldo for several weeks of that summer. So they maybe expected something bigger.
After his presentation in the Santiago Bernabeu Stadium, Faubert joins his teammates, players like Raul, Cannavaro and Sergio Ramos. Faubert is entering a new world.
It's a different world, you know, if we say in French, it's the crème de la crème, so it's the best of the best. You are in one of the biggest clubs in the world. So everything was ready for me. Everything was arranged already for me. The school for my kids, my house, and my car and everything. So it's a different world. And when you arrive in the office and you see the shirt of Raul, Salgado or Gucci, Casillas, you said, okay, I'm in the Casablanca now at the moment. So it's a big thing for me, because as a kid, all the kids want to play for Real Madrid or Barcelona. It's even my kids want to play for them. So me to be there realizing a dream, it's incredible. People make jokes about me or about things, but you know, this kind of club don't sign players for charity. They sign players because they saw something. So for me, I took the step and went there, trained with the best player in the world. And I was with the Ballon d'Or, Cannavaro or Van Nistelrooy, or you know, or all the Dutch people who play in the highest level in the world. So, but they still like players like me. So they make friends. But when you go on the pitch, the quality is crazy. You know, it's the game is quicker. The quality, the technique is, it's the best you can see. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. And you arrive, for me, to be honest, it take 5 seconds like to observe and everything, to watch. And then I said, you know what? You're a player like them. Try to do your best and be focused. And I start to play. And to be honest, I improve a lot. But it was crazy.
2 weeks after Faubert arrived at the club, Real Madrid plays a home game against Racing Santander in La Liga. Julien Faubert makes his debut in the squad. Sitting on the bench, he sees Gonzalo Higuain score the opening goal. After 60 minutes, Faubert is brought on, replacing Arjen Robben.
Ah, it's a crazy stadium. It's different than the Camp Nou in Barcelona, because the Camp Nou is quite open. This one, it's like you have four walls straight, and they go. You know, you have four floors and everything. So when I go to warm up, you can they clap them the hands and everything, so you feel like, okay, now it's what you see on the TV, you're in it. So it was a great feeling that I tried to stay focused. And then when I come in, to be honest, when I was on the pitch, I only see the first row. Above, I don't even see anything. I just was on the pitch, see what happened, but just the first row, because if you start to be a fan or a spectator to watch at the top, you're dead. So I tried to be focused. I think I missed my first ball, so I felt a little bit the pressure of the crowd and everything. And then, okay, now I have to go. And then I start. And I don't play a lot over there, but I really have some great memories.
A couple of weeks after making his debut for Real Madrid, Robert travels to Bilbao with the squad for an away game against Athletic de Bilbao. Now, Bilbao is the biggest city in the Basque Country, an autonomous region in Spain. People there don't tend to like the capital Madrid, and they absolutely hate Real Madrid. Robert remembers how people shouted at them, threw rocks and spat at them, but Robert was loving all of it.
It's unbelievable. It's crazy over there because they hate Madrid. They hate Madrid because it's the club of the king, and they hate Madrid. So when we went there, we was on the coach. We received some big rock on the coach, on the glass and everything. And when you start to warm up on the side, it's crazy. They want to, I can see they want to kill you, but it's a, I love this kind of atmosphere. I play football to feel this. And it was great. It was really great. But the atmosphere was crazy, like really electric. And to be honest, that's why I loved before the job, because it's I play football for these feelings.
Robert plays another 24 minutes that game. A couple of weeks later, he makes headlines in the Spanish media, but not because of something he does on the pitch. During a home game against Villarreal, Robert is benched and closes his eyes for a moment. A photographer takes a picture and Robert becomes a headline. He's framed in the Spanish media as the Real Madrid player who fell asleep during a game.
When you play for Real Madrid, Barcelona, you need to be careful about everything. And that's why the players talk with the hands on their mouth, because you have to be careful about everything. And After these things happened, the guy who was responsible of the press said to me, Julian, you need to be careful about everything, because even during the game, you have cameras on the pitch, but you have cameras and people who take picture just for the bench to see what happened, to see if something happened. And I was, to be honest, kind of a little bit pissed off, because the manager won't make a substitute. So I was a little bit pissed off. I closed my eyes. Poof a little bit for 5 seconds, like, okay, Julian, calm down. You're gonna have your chance after and everything. And at this time, they took a picture and they took my head and they said I fell asleep. But I just closed my eyes to like recentrate everything. But I won't sleep. I can't sleep. I mean, you imagine you play for Real Madrid in Liga and you fell asleep. I think you're crazy if you do this. So it's just But it's Madrid. Sometimes newspapers don't have nothing. They have nothing to write, and they try to make stories to say something about the club. So it didn't touch me, because I know what kind of professional I am. So yeah, I just say, okay, let's people talk. I know who I am. I know what professional I am. So I don't care.
Robert makes headlines again in Spain that season when he once forgets a training session because of a miscommunication. The manager, Juan Ramos, immediately forgives him, but it adds to the weirdness of the transfer. After a little over 4 months at the club, Real Madrid decides not to sign Robert on a 3-year deal. Robert is not surprised or disappointed.
I felt like I didn't had my chance to prove something. That's it. But at the end, it was a normal choice. Respect the choice. I really enjoyed my time over there. I learned a lot from the best of the best. So it's okay. You know, I'm honest with myself. So it was okay for that.
Robert collects his things and says goodbye to the stars he played with. Arjen Robben, Sergio Ramos, Raul. But more than with the other players, he developed a good bond with the backroom staff. So he especially takes his time to say goodbye to these people at Real Madrid.
My mom had 3 or 4 jobs sometimes. She cleaned for people, for rich people. She cleaned in the hotel. She cleaned clothes. She ironed clothes for people. So all the time when I went to the club, I felt like when my mom was working, I will be happy if the people for who she worked will respect her. So that's why I always, when I went in the changing room when I saw people who were watching clothes, I never throw my clothes on the floor. I took my clothes, go in the laundry and give my clothes, because it's respect. They work for us. They make our life better. So the minimum I can do is respect. So that's why I say bye to this kind of people, because they was always kind with me. And I did this for all my club. And sometimes when I came back to the club I played, I saw these people and they hugged me straight away, because they always remember, like, we respect each other, you know, because at the end, I was born like everybody and I will die with like everybody. So I'm not a Superman. I'm not God. I'm just a man like them. And the minimum I can do is to give respect.
Faubert returns to West Ham United, where he plays 3 more years. Here's Dave Walker on what Faubert meant for the West Ham fans.
When I think of Julian, I think someone that gave 110%. He worked really hard. He embraced the football club. He understood the football club. You know, he could play right back. He could play right wing. He had a good cross on him. He got stuck in with a tackle. He was also part of some iconic moments at West Ham as a team. So obviously he got relegated as a player. He got promoted as a player. And that promotion back in 2012, when Vaz Tay put it in the roof of the net and we were back in the Premier League, he was very much a part of that day. So I think collectively, with Julian, I think we look back and we think he had the right attitude. He had the right work rate. He was a good man, and he could play. And he was also, you know, I think he enjoyed a real eventful time over those 5 years at West Ham. So, yeah, I think when any West Ham fan looks back, they look at him in high regard, really, and a very nice man too.
Faubert left West Ham in 2012, having played over 100 games for the club. He then played in Turkey for a bit and returned to Bordeaux for a couple of years. Faubert spent his last years as a professional football player at clubs in Scotland, Finland, and on the Indonesian island of Borneo. He retired in 2019 and now works as an assistant manager at Étoile Fréjus Saint-Raphaël, a club at the Côte d'Azur.
It's 20 minutes from Cannes, so it's a really south of France, sunny place, holiday place for foreigner and French people. It's a quiet city, but it's a really, really lovely city. You have the sun 300 days a year, so it's kind of good life. And I have my 2 kids with me, my family. I've enjoyed it, and it's a really nice place. So I'm an assistant coach with the first team. So it's like kind of 1, 2, 3. It's like League 4 in England. So I'm assistant coach, and then I'm as well first coach for you, the U17 in the club. So I pass my badges, learning, study, and I want to go at the top. I want to go at, but I'm working for the club who give me the chance to coach, give me the chance to settle a little bit my life here. I'm enjoyed it, my new life, because it's a new life. I'm learning as well. It's good. It's a lot of work, but I'm really happy. I enjoy my life now.
Faubert is in a good place right now. He seems happy, and he cherishes the memories he has from his career as a professional football player.
I'm proud. I'm proud of what I did, and especially I'm proud of from where I come from. And where I arrived, I'm really proud of this. I always make my choice and never get regrets. You know, I always assume what I did, even if it was a wrong choice, but I always assume this. But I feel proud. I feel proud. And especially one thing, I realized all my dreams when I was kids. Because when I start to be, when I was 5 or 6, I always said to my mom, I want to be professional. But I always make step in my head. And my first step was to go in academy. I did it. And then to play on the TV, because at this time in our generation, it wasn't really the money. It was to play on the TV and your parents can see you on the TV. And then to play with the national team, I did it. And to play in Real Madrid or Barcelona, and I did it as well. So no regrets, happy what I did. I realized all my dream kids. And especially I make proud my mom when she was there. And and my kids as well. They're proud at the moment. They like to ask me, "Oh, daddy, how was this? How was this?" So that's the main thing, to be honest. The main thing. And I did the best job, one of the best job in the world. You know, you wake up in the morning, you train 2 hours, and then you win money. So what I can complain? It was a great time.
That's good to hear, man. Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me for this podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for your patience. I'm sorry.
No problem, man. This was great.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Have a good day, man.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
So that's the story of Julien Faubert. He's sometimes used as a meme online because of his unexpected and short transfer to Real Madrid. But there were a couple of factors that made it possible. It probably wouldn't have happened if the president of Real Madrid, Ramon Calderon, hadn't resigned that transfer window, and an interim president, Vicente Boluda, executed the transfers. It probably wouldn't have happened if the manager, Bernd Schuster, didn't resign that season at Real Madrid, and was replaced by Juan de Ramos, who had seen Faubert play in the Premier League. And it definitely wouldn't have happened if Real Madrid managed to sign Antonio Valencia as their first option. But everything fell into place for Faubert to get his transfer to Real Madrid. Even though he made only 2 appearances for the club, no one can take that experience away from Faubert. Faubert came a long way since playing in the streets of Le Havre as a kid. He played in the Champions League with Bordeaux, made his debut for the national team of France wearing Zinedine Zidane's number. He made his dream come true by playing in the Premier League with West Ham United. And those 4 months at Real Madrid were the cherry on top. His mother must have been so proud of him. I want to thank Julien Faubert, Dave Walker and Ewan McTeer for their time. Subscribe to this podcast in your podcast app to never miss an episode. You can also subscribe to our newsletter to get a free article every time we upload an episode. You can do that at thehomeoffootball.substack.com. My name is Sam Verraad. Thank you for listening and on to the next story in the home of football.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.